WGXC is a listener-supported community radio station, and it is also a new platform for presenting innovative experimental works on the air. Tune in, WGXC 90.7 FM, Agra, Hudson, Catskill, and points beyond. Listen to special programs of performance, words, sounds, and other rare and delicious items. Transmitting the arts all day every Saturday and weekdays after midnight. Here is there. Radio lives on in our minds.
You are listening to Human Machine, a program that airs each Saturday on WGXC 90.7 FM. Research in various scientific fields examine a speculative next stage in human evolution. Many predict an imminent human transformation based on increasing computer processing speed and manufacture, which will merge technological and human architectures. In this series, we will present projects and research about the horizons of the human machine. The program alternates weekly between Jeremy Kelly's curation of machine systems influence composers and Maximilian Goldfarb's assembly of materials that depict the convergence of humans and technology. Episodes will be thematically arranged to cover topics such as autonomous vehicles, medicine, sexual relations, space and habitation, nanotechnology, slavery, warfare, labor, bioresearch, prosthetics and agriculture, all areas examined in relation to our subject of human-machine advancement.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Those words were spoken by an electronic computer. They are an example of synthetic speech, a product of Bell Telephone Laboratories' research into the basic nature of speech. Knowledge developed through such research may be useful in devising new techniques for transmitting speech over communication systems. To make the computer talk, it is fed punched cards containing the names of speech sounds. The computer combines these sounds, in accordance with the linguistic rules which govern the English language, into connected, intelligible speech. For example, when the sounds for the sentence, "He saw the cat," are fed into the computer in sequence, it says,
"He saw the cat."
The flat, monotonous tones of the computer indicate an absence of the pitch and timing characteristics natural to human speech. When timing information is added to the punch cards, the computer says,
"He saw the cat."
The sentence still sounds unnatural, but when pitch information also is added to the cards,
"He saw the cat,"
the computer speaks in accents almost completely human, except for a slight electronic twang. In the following sentence, most of the variables inherent in human speech have been specified on the punch cards. The computer makes one of the pivotal remarks in the development of the telephone.
"Mr. Watson, from here, I want you."
The present quality of speech synthesis by computer is illustrated in the next example, part of a famous soliloquy from Hamlet.
"To be or not to be, that is the question. Whether 'tis nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, or to take arms against a sea of troubles, and by opposing end them, to die, to sleep."
Singing, in purely physical terms, is essentially a matter of pitch and timing. In the next selection, the computer sings a familiar ditty.
"Daisy, Daisy, give me your hand. answer to. I'm half crazy, all for the love of you. It won't be a stylish marriage. I can't afford a carriage, but you look sweet upon the seat of a bicycle built for two.
The computer now sings the same tune, but to a musical accompaniment played by another computer. Piano students will notice that the music-producing computer has a rather stylized left hand. Incidentally, synthesizing music on a computer is almost as formidable as making a computer talk.
Daisy, Daisy, give me your answer to. I'm half crazy, all for the love of you. It won't be a stylish marriage. I can't afford a carriage, but you look sweet upon the seat of a bicycle built for two.
To get the samples of synthesized speech we've heard so far, a computer's memory was stored with 34 speech sounds and a set of rules for producing these sounds and for making the transitions from one sound to another. When the computer was fed the names of speech sounds on punch cards, it was, in effect, told what to say. But its manner of saying it, even its dialect and apparent accent, was determined by the rules stored in its memory. The objective of this program is to formulate a minimum set of rules for making plausible English speech. The next two selections, however, were produced by analyzing a person's speech and reconstructing it synthetically on a computer. The objective here is to duplicate the sounds and transitions made by a human speaker, including his dialect and accent. With such a program, the computer sounds like this.
Men strive but seldom get rich. Now if you don't mind, I'd like to say a few words about Texas.
And now the computer would like to express its appreciation for your attention.
Thanks for listening.
The synthesizing computer can also be made to sing. Hector has been programmed to improvise lyrics for a song, as that song might apply to a computer. The result will be the first synthetic, purely logical love song.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? I am a computer. Are you a computer too? I sing and compose songs and talk in many voices, and this is what I know. I know the square root of one, and why sometimes just for fun multiplication is done. But I don't know about love. I've been programmed for dates with mathematical mates, but my ego impulse waits, 'cause I'm not programmed for love. Not programmed for love. Programmed for love. I'm not programmed for love. Strange as it seems, digital dreams take analog form and manage to warm the hearts of machines. I dreamed I was in space, programmed to trace the precision orbit of some exorbitant human race. Human race. When at the edge of vision, on course for collision, an object appeared and rapidly veered around to my position, around to my position, around to my position. It was an analog computer, couldn't have been cuter. We both were surprised when we realized neither of us was neuter, not neuter, neutnotter. Oh, not neuter. A microsecond later, we crossed the equator. On re-entry we split, my analog lit on the pad of the madman that made her. She has a well-designed face and geometrical grace. We could head up in space, but we can't calculate love. We'll do a demonstration on top of the Pentagon. We knew of Washington that we were programmed for love. That we were programmed for love. Programmed for love. That we
there are 10 filter circuits in the motor, and combined with the two energy sources, they give a total of 20 separate components to be used in building up speech sounds. But now let's have Mr. Garrett and Miss Harper actually show us what the voter can do with these 20 separate sounds.
Well, we've heard the voter make a word, and by combining words, of course, we get a sentence. For example, Helen, will you have the voter say, "She saw me"?
She saw.
That sounded awfully flat. How about a little expression? Say the sentence in answer to these questions. Who saw you?
She saw me.
Whom did she see?
She saw me.
Well, did she see you or hear you?
She saw me.
Now, so far, you have only heard the voter speak in one voice. But the voter has other voices which he can use when Miss Harper makes a simple adjustment in his mechanism. Helen, will you have the voter say, "Greetings, everybody"?
Greetings, everybody.
Now, will you have him repeat that in a high voice?
Greetings, everybody.
And now, in his best bass.
Greetings, everybody.
When a boy's voice changes, he's never quite sure whether it's going to be a tenor or a bass. And the voter, being still a comparatively young man, also has his moments of uncertainty. Let's hear him recite, "Mary Had a Little Lamb."
Mary had a little lamb.
Gosh, Porter, you sounded awfully dismal. Snap out of it. Let's hear you laugh.
Okay.
A minute ago, I said the voter was still a comparatively young man. But that last laugh of his makes me wonder whether I might not have been wrong. Do you really feel as old as you sound? Well, I certainly feel sorry for you. Now, perhaps you noticed there was a peculiar quality in that voice you've not heard before. That was the vibrato. We noticed a little while ago that a vowel sustained without inflection didn't sound human. It sounded this way. Now, if we put vibrato into that same tone, we get this. And that, as you noticed, is really a singing tone. Yes, voter can not only talk, but he can sing. Test your voice for us, voter. Well, if you've quite recovered from your mood of depression of a few minutes ago, suppose you sing a song for us, will you?
Yes, certainly.
Well, how about "Auld Lang Syne"?
Auld Lang Syne, okay. She called her name her for cough and never go behind. She told her neighbor for cough and her pain for him and time.
I'm sure that if I sang that song, I wouldn't sound as good as the voter. Miss Harper, I've been wondering whether our listeners realize how many motions you have to make in the production of a single word. Can you give us some idea?
Well, for example, in producing the word concentration on the voter, I have to form 13 different sounds in succession, make 5 up and down movements of the wrist bar, and vary the position of the foot pedal from 3 to 5 times, according to what expression I want the voter to give the word. And, of course, all this must be done with exactly correct timing.
About how long did it take you to become an expert in operating the voter?
It took me about a year of constant practice. This is about the average time required in most cases.
How many girls are there who can operate the voter?
The company tried out about 320 girls, and out of this number, 28 girls finally became expert operators.
Well, that seems like a very small number. Just why is that?
I can answer that, Dr. Caldwell, by saying that in operating the voter, a girl needs a peculiar combination of particular talent, which is not too common.
Mr. Garrett, does the voter speak any foreign language?
Oh, yes, the voter can talk practically any language that its operator can talk.
Well, suppose we try a little French on the voter. Can he say, "Parlez-vous français"?
I think so.
Splendidly done.
Merci, merci.
You see, Doctor, the voter can do practically anything that can be done with a human voice.
Well, that certainly covers a lot of ground, Mr. Garrett. I know people who can imitate animals. Can the voter do that, too?
Oh, pretty well. For instance, here's voter's imitation of a cow.
Mm-hmm.
And here's a pig.
Have you given the voter any real education yet?
Just what do you mean by that, Dr. Caldwell?
Well, for example, does he know his alphabet?
I'll let you judge that for yourself.
Well, that certainly proves voters' versatility. And now I'd like to ask just what to see for the voter, Mr. Garrett. How can it be practically applied?
Well, Dr. Caldwell, we don't anticipate any commercial use for the voter. It was built for an educational exhibit for the New York World's Fair and San Francisco Exposition. However, it is a byproduct of development that we are going on and doing in the Bell Telephone Laboratory.
Will you please make the voter say for our Eastern listeners, good evening, radio audience. And now for our Western listeners, say, good afternoon, radio audience.
The human voice system is like a musical instrument. At its center is a vibrating element that produces sound with varying tone and loudness. The vibrating element in the human voice is the vocal cords. When air is exhaled from the lungs and through the larynx, it causes the vocal cords to vibrate. During normal breathing, the vocal cords are held apart and no sound is produced. But when the moving cartilages are drawn together by muscles, a vibrating gap is formed that generates sound. The cartilages tilt to control vocal cord tension. And like the strings of a musical instrument, the greater the tension, the higher the pitch. The lower the tension, the lower the pitch. Loudness depends on how fast the air moves past the cords. When we yell, we have to push the air rapidly through our vocal cords. Speech is formed by a combination of tongue, mouth, and lips all working together to control the flow of air and sound from the vocal cords.
Tonight we present a new miracle of electricity, the Sonovox. Harry Babbitt, using special Sonovox units, gives diction to the tones of the instruments as they play. Harry forms the words, but the instruments sing them. Sing it, Saxes.
I know you anywhere. I know that grin. I know you anywhere when you walked in.
How does the computer synthesize speech?
Well, our machine takes any ASCII text, that's the way text information is stored in a computer, and converts that to intelligible speech. It first looks at the words, decides which phonemes are in those words. Phonemes are the basic elements of speech. It puts the phonemes together for the words. It massages them to make sure that they flow the way natural speech does. And then that's converted to a set of parameters for a speech synthesizer, which then produces speech. When you say a phoneme, tell me more about it. You say that's the basic building block of speech. What is a phoneme, literally?
A phoneme is a short sound in speech. It's the fundamental element such that if a phoneme changes, it changes the meaning of a word. Phonemes are, you can roughly think of them as being vowels or fricative sounds, t sounds, and a number of other sounds. There are roughly 38 to 45 phonemes in English, depending on which linguist you speak, you're talking to. And in other languages, there are roughly the same number.
Does your product cover all of the English language?
Yes, our product takes unrestricted text and converts it to English.
What size of a computer do you need to do that?
It's based on a commercially available 16-bit microcomputer chip.
When you say converts it to English, now suppose I were to type in French words.
It would attempt to pronounce them, but they probably wouldn't come out right because our phoneme models are for English and the phonemes in French are different.
Yeah, with an English accent.
So this particular device is language dependent. It's
That's
programmable
correct.
In one particular
That's
language
correct.
With its particular set of
also,
phonemes.
The pronunciation rules, not only the phonemes, but the way the phonemes flow together are different in different languages. So in our device, we have not only models of the phonemes, but we have the pronunciation rules as well.
So that sort of helps the sentence come out in context
that's
the
right.
way it might
with,
be if it were spoken.
With reasonably natural inflection.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. You said not only it recognizes the phonemes and then it massages those to turn it into normal speech. What do you mean by massaging?
Well, what happens when you speak, you don't normally articulate everything. For instance, if you were giving directions to someone, you would say, make a left turn at the corner. You don't say make a left turn at the corner. So things are strung together in normal speech. And in fact, some sounds are not spoken at all in certain words. And there's rules for how you adjust the phonemes depending on what sound came first and what sound came afterwards. And also you need to know where the sound appears within a word and in fact where it appears within a sentence to make sure that you get the inflection properly.
Does manipulation of the phonemes also include volume and inflection, or is that done separately?
Yes, it includes the stress. It includes a phoneme isn't a fixed element. It starts at one point and it flows to another point depending on which sound comes next.
Carl, earlier when Herb and I were talking, we used the phrase speech synthesis, and that's different, isn't it, from speech coding? What's the difference and what does this do?
Okay, the way to think of it is we call this synthesis by rule because there is no pre-recorded speech or no stored speech in this device. It takes text and it produces speech according to the pronunciation rules of English. Okay, the other kind of speech, what people think of as speech synthesis, is synthesis by analysis, where the information is recorded from a human voice and then compressed or processed in some other manner by a computer so that it can be stored, and then it is simply reconstructed. There's no knowledge of what the words were, what they mean, or how they flow together. It's a sophisticated tape recording process, if you will.
Spoken language contains variables that can completely change the meaning of a word, depending on the context, the inflection, or the accent of the speaker. So for a computer to accurately analyze and reproduce speech, it needs to first break up the words into sound fragments and then reassemble them with natural speech emphasis. Synthesizing devices work either by digitally encoding entire messages or by phoneme synthesis, building words from a library of digitally stored fragments. Encoding speech into these fragments points out the primary importance of speech inflection and accentuation in determining how a phrase is pronounced. The operator of this scanning electron microscope normally works in a totally darkened room because of the microscope's sensitivity to light. Faced with two different instruments, a microscope and a computer, the operator's hands and eyes are continually busy. But in this case, a microphone has replaced the computer's keyboard. The computer has been trained to respond to verbal commands encoded previously by the operator in his own voice.
Charge.
Charge.
Machines that can understand and carry out verbal commands have been in development since the late 1960s. Today's applications are still limited. The breakthrough will come with the perfection of recent speech systems that feature context-sensitive rules and flexible models of human speech.
Language is more than just feelings.
Speech was our earliest form of civilized communication, and is still our most common, and for many purposes, our most convenient. It would certainly be more convenient if we could verbally instruct a computer and then listen to its output. Well, the technology is rapidly being developed that will enable us to do these things. There are many examples of talking computers used by the telephone company for referral numbers, and many applications where the user calls a computer on the telephone and keys in certain passwords or other information, and is given bank or inventory balance information by computer voice response. The observation that many people are better talkers than listeners also applies to computers. As we discuss in a later segment, it is much easier to program a computer to generate passable speech than it is to understand our speech. The computer knows exactly what it wants to say and can generate an unambiguous, if somewhat stilted, series of words to say it. Understanding different word boundaries, dialects, indefinite references based on global knowledge, or nonverbal signals is very difficult for anyone, computers included. An example of word boundary problems occurs when I say Sam Spade. Do I mean a fictional detective or a man named Sam who received his paycheck? Thanks to cheap, high-performance hardware and computer techniques called artificial intelligence, which we will study later, computers can now understand a limited vocabulary, or a larger vocabulary spoken by a limited number of people. We'll see some of these systems in our next segment, so let's get back to our program.
Joining us now is Carl Burney. Carl is Vice President for Corporate Development at Speech Plus. Speech Plus is involved in quite a bit of the new things in speech technology. Herb?
Let's start out, Carl, if you would, please, and tell us, how does the computer synthesize speech?
Well, our machine takes any ASCII text, that's the way text information is stored in a computer, and converts that to intelligible speech. It first looks at the words, decides which phonemes are in those words. Phonemes are the basic elements of speech. It puts the phonemes together for the words. It massages them to make sure that they flow the way natural speech does. And then that's converted to a set of parameters for a speech synthesizer, which then produces speech.
When you say a phoneme, tell me more about it. You say that's the basic building block of speech. What is a phoneme, literally?
A phoneme is a short sound in speech. It's the fundamental element such that if a phoneme changes, it changes the meaning of a word. Phonemes are, you can roughly think of them as being vowels or fricative sounds, t sounds, and a number of other sounds. There are roughly 38 to 45 phonemes in English, depending on which linguist you speak, you're talking to. And in other languages, there are roughly the same number.
Does your product cover all of the English language?
Yes, our product takes unrestricted text and converts it to English.
What size of a computer do you need to do that?
It's based on a commercially available 16-bit microcomputer chip.
When you say converts it to English, now suppose I were to type in French words.
It would attempt to pronounce them, but they probably wouldn't come out right because our phoneme models are for English and the phonemes in French are different.
With an English accent.
So this particular device is language dependent. It's
That's
programmable
correct.
In one particular
That's
language
correct.
With its particular set of
also
phonemes.
The pronunciation rules, not only the phonemes, but the way the phonemes flow together are different in different languages. So in our device we have not only models of the phonemes, but we have the pronunciation rules as well.
So that sort of helps the sentence come out in context if it were spoken.
With reasonably natural inflection.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. You said not only it recognizes the phonemes and then it massages those to turn it into normal speech. What do you mean by massaging it?
Well, what happens when you speak, you don't normally articulate everything. For instance, if you were giving directions to someone, you would say, make a left turn at the corner. You don't say, make a left turn at the corner. So things are strung together in normal speech. And in fact, some sounds are not spoken at all in certain words. And there's rules for how you adjust the phonemes depending on what sound came first and what sound came afterwards. And also, you need to know where the sound appears within a word, and in fact, where it appears within a sentence to make sure that you get the inflection proper.
Does manipulation of the phonemes also include volume and inflection, or is that done separately?
Yes, it includes the stress. It includes a phoneme isn't a fixed element. It starts at one point and it flows to another point depending on which sound comes next.
Carl, earlier when Herb and I were talking, we used the phrase speech synthesis, and that's different, isn't it, from speech coding? What's the difference and what does this do?
Okay, the way to think of it is we call this synthesis by rule, because there is no pre-recorded speech or no stored speech in this device. It takes text and it produces speech according to the pronunciation rules of English. Okay, the other kind of speech, what people think of as speech synthesis, is synthesis by analysis, where the information is recorded from a human voice and then compressed or processed in some other manner by a computer so that it can be stored, and then it is simply reconstructed. There's no knowledge of what the words were, what they mean, or how they flow together. It's a sophisticated tape recording process, if you will.
I am the spirit of the St. Louis Blues. I am so blue. All the day long I am blue. All the day long I am so blue.
This mechanical talking robot mouth, developed by the Sawada Group at Kagawa University, features speech organs which mimic a human's. The robot's mouth and tongue are made from silicon rubber, and to enhance the sound that is made, several types of silicon were blended together. The inside of the nose is made of plaster, which gives it similar characteristics to the human nose, which consists of bone and membranes. One special feature of this robot is that it can learn through auditory feedback. It listens to the sound it is making through a microphone, and then determines by itself what motions will make it sound more human. Professor Sawada has been doing this research for over a decade. He says the next step to make its voice more like a human's will be to add teeth, so it can produce what are called fricative consonants, such as F and S.
The next phrase was done using this box here, which is the vocoder. And this gives out an electronic but voice-like sort of quality. I'll show you what I mean. If you just play a chord or notes on the keyboard here, you can't actually hear them, but you can see that they've got into the box here by the green light being on there. Now, the only way you can let it out of the box, as it were, is to speak into this microphone, and it comes out of the box sounding like your voice.
So your voice releases the note you're playing on the
keyboard. That's right. Look, I'm showing you. Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Thank you.
Recent technological developments are characterized by increasing physical and psychological similarity to humans. One example is the well-known human-like robots. Being one of the distinct characteristics of humans, speech is a natural candidate to imitation by machines. Also, information can be transmitted very fast and speech frees hands and eyes for other tasks. Various designs of machines that produce and understand human speech have been available for a long time. The use of voice in computer systems interfaces will be an added advantage, allowing, for example, the use of information systems for people with different disabilities and the access by telephone to new information services. However, our current knowledge of the production and perception of voice is still incomplete. The quality, or lack of it, of synthetic voice of the currently available systems is a clear indication of the necessity to improve this knowledge. There are two types of motivations for research in the vast domain of voice production and perception. The first one aims at the deep understanding of its diverse aspects and functions. The second is the design and development of artificial systems. When artificial systems are closely related to the way humans do things, these two motivations can be merged. These systems contribute to an increased knowledge of the process, and this knowledge can be used to improve current systems. We have been developing an articulatory synthesizer since 1995, which will hopefully produce high-quality synthetic European Portuguese (EP) speech. We aim at a simultaneous improvement of our synthesis quality, technological motivation, and also to expand our knowledge of Portuguese production and perception. 2. Articulatory synthesis. Articulatory synthesis generates the speech signal through modeling of physical, anatomical, and physiological characteristics of the organs involved in human voice production. This is a different approach when compared with other techniques, such as form and synthesis. 5. In the articulatory approach, the system is modeled instead of the signal or its acoustics characteristics. Approach is based on the signal. Try to reproduce the signal of a natural voice as faithfully as possible with few or no concern about how it is produced. In contrast, a model based on the production system uses five cycle laws to describe the sound propagation in the vocal tract and models mechanical and air acoustic phenomena to describe the oscillation of the vocal folds. Basic components of an articulatory synthesizer. To implement an articulatory synthesizer in a digital computer, a mathematical model of the vocal system is needed. Synthesizers usually include two subsystems: an anatomic physiological model of the structures involved in voice production and a model of the production and propagation of sound in these structures. The first model transforms the positions of the articulators, like the jaw, tongue body, and velum, into cross-sectional areas of the vocal tract. The second model consists of a set of equations that describe the acoustic properties of the vocal tract system. Generally, it is divided into submodels to simulate different phenomena such as the creation of a source of periodic excitation, vocal fold oscillation, sound sources caused by the turbulent flow in the case of existence of constriction zones, area sufficiently reduced along the vocal tract, propagation of the sound above and below the vocal folds, and radiation at the lips and or nostrils. The parameters for the models can be produced by different methods. They can be obtained directly from the voice signal by a process of inversion with optimization, be defined manually by the researcher, or be the output of a linguistic processing part of a TTS, text-to-speech, system. 2.2. Motivations. Articulatory synthesis has not received as much attention in recent years as it could have because there is not an alternative to the actual systems of synthesis currently used in TTS systems. This is due to different factors: the difficulty to get information about the vocal tract and the vocal folds during the production of voice in humans. The measurement techniques generally provide information regarding static configurations, while information concerning the dynamics of the articulators is incomplete. A full and reliable inversion process for obtaining the articulatory parameters from natural voice does not exist yet. This technique involves complex calculations, raising problems of stability in the numerical resolution. Despite these limitations, articulatory synthesis presents some important advantages. The parameters of the synthesizer are directly related with the human articulatory mechanisms, being very useful in studies of production and perception of voice. This method can produce high-quality nasal consonants and nasal vowels. Source tract interaction, essential for a natural sound, can be conveniently modeled when simulating the vocal folds and the tract as one system. The parameters vary slowly in time, so they can be used in efficient processes of codification. The parameters are easier to interpolate than LPC and Forman synthesizers parameters. Small errors in the control signals do not generally produce low-quality speech sounds, because the interpolated values will always be physically possible. According to Shadell and Amper, articulatory synthesis is clearly the best way to reproduce some attributes of speech we are interested in, such as to be able to sound like an extraordinary speaker. For example, a singer, someone with disordered speech, or an alien with extra sinuses, to be able to change to another speaker type, or alter the voice quality of a given speaker, without having to go through as much effort as required for the first voice. Articulatory synthesizers have parameters that can be conceptualized, so that if a speech sample sounds wrong, intuition is useful in fixing it, always teaching us something and providing opportunities to learn more as we work to produce a commercially usable system. Articulatory synthesis holds promise for overcoming some of the limitations and for sharpening our understanding of the production-perception link. There is only partial knowledge about the dynamics of the speech signal, so continued research in this area is needed. The systematic study of the corticulation effects is of special importance for the development of the experimental phonetics and sciences related with the processing of voice. An articulatory synthesizer can be used as a versatile speaker and therefore contributes to such studies. Articulatory synthesizers can generate speech production simulation applied to European Portuguese speech using carefully controlled conditions. This can be useful, for example, to test pitch tracking algorithms. The articulatory synthesizer can be combined with a speech production evaluation tool to develop a system that can produce real-time audio-visual feedback to help people with specific articulatory disorders. For example, computer-based speech therapy of speakers with dysarthria tries to stabilize their production at syllable or word level to improve the consistency of production. For severely hearing impaired persons, the aim is to teach them new speech patterns and increase the intelligibility of their speech. For children with cleft lip and palate and velopharyngeal incompetence, the aim is to eliminate misarticulated speech patterns so that most of these speakers can achieve highly intelligible normal speech patterns. Also, the use of such a articulatory synthesizer has much to commend it in phonetic studies. The audio-visual feedback could be used as an assistant for teaching phonetics to foreign students to improve their speech quality. The synthesizer can be used to help teach characteristic features of a given language such as pitch level and vowel space. Recent developments presented at the IFES show that articulatory synthesis is worth revisiting as a research tool and as a part of TTS systems. Better ways of measuring vocal tract configurations, an increased research interest in the visual representation of speech and the use of simpler control structures have renewed the interest in this research area. Current articulatory approaches to synthesis include an open-source infrastructure that can be used to combine different models. Recent developments in the Haskins Configurable Articulatory Synthesizer, CASI, the characterization of lip movements, the IC virtual talking head that includes articulatory, aerodynamic, and acoustic models of speech, and the QC articulatory parameters controlling a Forman synthesizer, approach of Stevens and Hansen, interactive glottal source model. We designed a glottal excitation model that included source tract interaction for oral and nasal sounds that allowed direct control of source parameters, such as fundamental frequency, and that was not too demanding computationally. The interactive source model we developed was based on the model was extended to include a two-mass parametric model of the glottal area, jitter, shimmer, aspiration, and the ability to synthesize dynamic configurations. To calculate the glottal excitation, ACT, it became necessary to model the subsystems involved, the lungs, the subglottal cavities, the glottis and the supraglottal tract. The role of the lungs is the production of a quasi-constant pressure source, modeled as a pressure source PL in series with the resistance RL, to represent the subglottal region. Including the trachea, we used 3 RLC resonant circuits. Several approaches were used for vocal fold modeling, self-oscillating models, parametric glottal area models, and so forth. We wanted to have a physiological model, like the 2-mass model, that resulted in high-quality synthesis, but at the same time a model not too demanding computationally. Also, a direct control of parameters such as F0 was required. We therefore chose the model proposed by Prado, which directly parameterizes the 2 glottal areas. In the model, RG and LG, which depend on glottal aperture, represent the vocal folds. Systems above glottis were modeled by the tract input impedance Zin, T, obtained from the acoustic model. This approach results in an accurate modeling of frequency-dependent losses. The glottal source model includes parameters needed to model F0 and glottal aperture perturbations, known as jitter and shimmer. The model also takes into account the aspiration noise generation. Our source model is controlled by 2 kinds of parameters. The first type of parameters can vary in time, have binaural similar to the tract parameters. In the synthesis process, these parameters can be used to control intonation, voice quality, and related phenomena. The second type of source parameters, including lung resistance, glottis dimensions, etc., does not vary in time. Their values can be altered by editing a configuration file. Nasal vowel studies. The synthesizer was used to produce stimuli for several perceptual tests, most of them for studies of nasal vowels. Next, we present 2 representative studies. The first investigating the effect of velum and other oral articulators variation over time. The second addressing the source tract interaction effects in nasal vowels. Conclusion. From the experience with simulations and perceptual tests using stimuli generated by our articulatory synthesizer, we believe that articulatory synthesis is a powerful approach to speech synthesis because of its anthropomorphic origin, and it allows us to address questions regarding human speech production and perception. We developed a modular articulatory synthesizer architecture for Portuguese, using object-oriented programming. Separation of control, model, and viewer allows the addition of new models without major changes to the user interface. Implemented models comprise a glottal interactive source model, a flexible nasal tract area model, and a hybrid acoustic model capable of dealing with asymmetric nasal tract configurations and frication noise sources. Synthesized speech has a quality ranging from fair to good. The synthesizer has been used mainly in the production of stimuli for perceptual tests of Portuguese nasal vowels. The 2 studies on nasal vowels reported in this paper were only possible with the use of the articulatory approach to speech synthesis, allowing the creation of stimuli by direct and precise control of the articulators and the glottal source. They illustrate the potential of articulatory synthesis in production and perception studies and the flexibility of our synthesizer. Perceptual tests and simulations contribute to improve our knowledge regarding EP nasal sounds, namely the following. 1. It is necessary to include the time variation of velum aperture, combined with the time variation of articulators controlling the oral passage, in order to synthesize high-quality nasal vowels. 2. Nasality is not controlled solely by the velum movement. Oral passage reduction, or occlusion, can be also used to improve nasal vowel quality. When nasal vowels were word final, the lips or tongue movement, even without occlusion, improved the quality of the synthesized nasal vowel by increasing the predominance of nasal radiation. Oral occlusion, due to corticulation, before stops also contributes to nasal quality improvement. 3. Source-tract interaction effect due to extra coupling of the nasal tract is not easily perceived. Discrimination was significantly above chance level only for the high vowel, which can possibly be explained by the relation of nasal and oral input impedances at the nasal tract coupling point.
The machine uses only 2 sounds produced electrically. One of these represents the breath. The other, the vibration of the vocal cord. There are no phonograph records or anything of that sort. Only electrical circuits, such as are used in telephone practice.
Let's see how you put expression into a sentence. Say, she saw me with no expression. Now say it in answer to these questions. Who saw you? Whom did she see?
She saw me.
Did she see you or hear you?
She saw me. Thank you.
You have been listening to the program Human Machine on WGXC. Listen on Saturday mornings to subsequent episodes, where we continue our conversation on the nature of being in an age of human-machine evolution.